How many of you like success? I think we all do, huh? You know, Miss Lynette's got a little book, or a little CD back there. Well, not a little, but it's a CD on success where she uses all the scriptures about success in the Word. But I just want to talk about success. I just want to talk to you tonight about success. I don't know that I'm going to preach a sermon, but I'm going to talk to you about success. Joshua 1:8 says in the New King James, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success." And then the NIV says, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful." And then let's go to the NLT. And it says, "Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do." I sort of like the way that says it a little better. It says it more in our language, the way we talk. Now, if you look at this verse, it's actually God giving Joshua instructions on how to be a success. And I want you to notice that it says that if he's going to be a success, he has to study the book of instruction. How many have a Bible? Hold it up, or if you got it on your iPad or your iPhone, hey, say this with me. This is God's instruction to me for successful life. See, you know, this is, and we need to read that book continually, it says. Read the book of instruction. That's their instruction book. You know, some people want to measure success in a lot of different ways. But success is really not just having a certain position or accomplishing things or having money. Actually, real success means being in the will of God, being obedient to God's word. It means to be on a journey with God to your destiny. You know, some people could travel their journey, but they never reach their destiny. Or they never reach their destination, you might say. Because they're on the journey, but they don't continue to study in the Word. And so they never reach their destination. Now, you know, ultimately, heaven is our destination. But I want to tell you what, there's a lot of destinations along the way that we need to go to. One destination we need to make sure we get to is growing up spiritually. Another one is serving in the church in some capacity. If you want to be successful, these are things you got to do with God. You know, gaining victory in certain areas of our lives. Everybody has some area in their life that they have to get victory over. Hello, I'm not talking about sin. I'm just talking about, you know, we got different things. And then we need to get to the destination of using our skills and talents for helping humanity and helping to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're going to be successful, you got to be involved in all those things. You know, if he's going to go from here to Dallas, you know, Well, there's several different ways you can go. You can go over here and you can get on I-44 and you can go down to Oklahoma City, and then you can hit I-35 and go down I-35, and then you can take I-35 east and go right into Dallas, or you can take I-35 west and go around into Fort Worth and wander around and get back to Dallas finally. Or you can go on through Oklahoma City on 44 and go on down to Wichita Falls, Texas. And then you can take the road back from Wichita Falls, Texas, down to Dallas. But if you want to go the shortest way, you're going to go out here and hit, you go out here and hit 75 to hit the Indian Nation Turnpike, straight down Indian Nation Turnpike to 69 down to Durant. It hits 75 down there, and then 75 are all right into Dallas. But now, if you're going to take that trip, you're going to be on the journey towards your destination, but you're probably going to make some stops along the way. That's what I'm talking about. Along this journey on our way to heaven, be successful, we need to make stops. Growing up spiritually is one of the stops we need to get to. Now, Lynette and I, when we drive to Dallas, you used to could jump on Southwest and go down there real quick, but you can't do that anymore. You got to get out there an hour or so ahead of time, and time you get checked in and the flight, and get down there and get your stuff that you've checked, and then go to the rental car place and get your rental car. I can drive it. But on our journey down there, we most of the time will stop in Atoka at Love's. Get a Coke. Go to the restroom. Get some, get some Ruffles potato chips, the original, not that junk kind. Any potato chip that they make, they put vinegar or anything else on, is no good. I want the original. If you're going to make a potato chip, don't ruin it. Right? You know, some people, you know, they ruin a hamburger because they put mayonnaise and ketchup and all kinds of junk on it. No, if you're gonna get a hamburger, well, you actually a cheeseburger, you got to put hamburger meat, cheese, lettuce, tomato, and that's it. And a little onion, yeah, a little onion, not much onion, but a little onion. Well, she wants jalapenos on hers, but you don't put that ketchup. You ruin a hamburger. I sometimes, you know, you go somewhere, maybe to IHOP, and people order eggs and they put ketchup on their eggs. How stupid can you be? Now that I've got everybody's attention and I got everybody with me now, let's get back to talking about success. See, y'all didn't know what I was doing, but see, I began to see people that were sort of drifting off a little bit. And a good speaker knows how to get his crowd back. Because see, y'all had worshiped God, you've been working all day, and you had a good time of worship, and you sat down and you're starting to relax. Come on now. Hey, let's get real. Hey. I've been there, done that too. Okay. Now we got everybody's attention. Let's talk about success again. All right. You know, if you're going to be successful in life, the Word of God has to take first place or priority in your life. It has to be your number one priority. You need to read this every day. Come on now. You know, what does this do to help us have success? Reading the Word. It gives us a foundation on which to base our life. Now, how many of you know anything about building? How many of you know if you don't have a good foundation, your building is going to collapse on you? Now, it may be good, it may be all right for a while, but eventually you're going to have problems. And that's what a lot of people do. They get into the Word a little bit and everything going good, and then they start to ease up on reading the Word. They're doing all right for a while, but pretty soon their foundation is weakened and then they're in trouble. So it provides a foundation. What else does the Word of God do to help us be successful? It provides us a roadmap which keeps us on the right road working with God in what He wants us to do. He don't want everybody to be up here preaching. He wants some of you to be worshipers. He wants some of you to work regular jobs and volunteer in the church and help support the church and ministry. You see, we need to understand that as we look at this, God gives us direction. The Word of God outlines guidelines and parameters for us to live our lives in. You know, if you have no parameters in life and you just go out there running wild, you're going to end up in trouble. Hello? You're going to have some guidelines. I mean, my parents put guidelines on me when I was growing up. Any of you have that? Yeah. During school days, I had to be home at a certain time. Okay? And then on the weekends, I had a certain time I was supposed to be there. I had some guidelines. They put some guidelines in my life. It helped me. See, and as long as you're operating in the guidelines with God's Word, you're going to be all right. Now it says that we're to read this Word and then meditate. What does meditate mean? It means think about it. Mull it over in your mind. Say, have you ever just sat and thought about something and just mulled it? Mulled in your mind, turned it over. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Hey, maybe you read a little bit of scripture in the morning time and then take one of the verses and just think about it as you go through the day when you have an opportunity. Think about it. It'll help you. You know, before I go on to something else, let me tell you this. One of the best things you can do is outline a program of reading and studying and meditating on the Word of God. You ought to get certain scriptures that you read every day for yourself that help you. And then you ought to have some, everybody needs to read those scriptures in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3. Everybody needs to read those every day and then read some other scriptures also. See, everybody don't need to read scriptures about anger and getting mad, but some people need to read the scriptures about anger. Don't look at me like you think I'm crazy. It's the truth. Some people need to read scriptures on not being stingy, but being a giver. Have you ever noticed that there's some people that are takers and there's some people that are givers? And there's some people that take and won't give nothing. Okay, I better go on. Now, if you're going to be successful in life with God, you got to define your purpose. You know, you can't be everything. My dad used to say, you know, there's too many people trying to be a jack of all trades. They're trying to do everything. He used to say that about some of the ministers. He'd say, why don't they zero in what they're doing? If you go back to this ministry, when Dad started this ministry, we're still doing the same things that God told him to do. And then as I began to take over, God began to tell me some things, and we're doing those things, such as the schools and the television. But we're still doing the printed page. We're still doing that. And the church, of course, what God told me to do. But you got to define your purpose. You know, you got to have a purpose in life if you're going to accomplish anything. Now, you know, actually, sometimes the way you look at things determines your purpose. Okay? Now, stay with me here. A shoe company was trying to expand their business. One of the things they did was to send two of their salesmen to a certain country to sell shoes. When the salesmen got to that country, both immediately went out, started looking around, and they both emailed messages back to the company. The first salesman sent an email back to the company and says, please wire money for a ticket home. Can't sell shoes here because nobody wears shoes in this country. The other salesman sent a message back to the company. Nobody wears shoes in this country. This is the greatest sales opportunity I have ever seen or had. Anticipate huge sales. Be prepared to ship inventory quickly. One of them looked at it one way, and he determined a purpose. I can't sell. And the other one looked at it and said, hey, man, that's a great idea. I can sell. Man, these people don't wear shoes. That's what I got. I can sell. You see, you got to look at stuff, and you can either be negative or positive. Come on. You know, when somebody asked you what you're doing and why you're doing it, if you can't give them a positive answer like this second salesman, something's the matter. You're not going to be successful. Learn to focus on what is going to help you to be a success in where you're at and what you're doing. You know, I felt like, you know, when I was, 17, 16, 17. Well, actually, I felt the first call to ministry back when I was 11 years old, but I didn't pay no attention to it because I didn't want nothing to do with it. But I finally accepted it when I was about 17. I finally accepted it going into ministry. Well, when I felt like that's what I felt like God wanted me to do, to minister and help people, well, the first thing I started doing then was to look at how people ministered, and I began, I'm a teenager, so I began to look for places to help speak to teenagers, try to help them. Hey, that's where I started. I started taking speech courses and watching how people talked, watch how ministers did things, learned what not to do and what to do. Hello, come on now. Because, see, I began to realize what my purpose was. This is what I felt God wanted to do. I wanted to help other people. And so I began to look at opportunities. Some of the guys, you know, they didn't see the opportunities that I saw because they were looking at it negatively. And you know what? there are not any of those guys in the ministry today. But I looked at it from the opposite. I got something that I can help people with. Come on. Each one of you got something you can help people with. Okay. Now, if you're going to be success, you got to identify your assets. Now, I realize I'm talking from a natural standpoint, but this is true in the spiritual standpoint. Everything I'm talking about can be used in the natural or the spiritual. Your assets. Well, your number one asset is God is on your side, and he's already told you he wants you to be a success. So that's your first asset. Your next asset is you have the Holy Spirit, the greater one, living on the inside of you. That's another asset. Another asset you have is the Word of God that tells you how to become a success, your roadmap. And then your next asset is your talents and your gifts. I don't have any. Somebody said, well, that's wrong. Everybody has something that they can do. They have some kind of talent. They have some kind of gift. If it's nothing more than waving a flashlight out there directing traffic. Some people are good at it. I'm not. I might have them going up because I'd be talking to somebody and waving my arm. And they think I want them turned. I'm waving my arm while I'm talking to the guy on the curb over there. Yeah, hey, go over there and turn right down that right. Go right that way. And here's this. All these cars are going over here, and they're supposed to be going that way. I know that's a little extreme, but do you understand? You can understand what I'm talking about. Some of us are not cut out for some things. I ain't going to get up there and try to sing. I know a little bit about singing, and sometimes I can get on tune. Sometimes I don't. And sometimes if somebody's standing beside of me, instead of staying on my part, I slide over and try to sing their part, and it gets too high for me or too low for me. Come on, y'all understand what I'm talking about? But we all have talents and gifts of some kind. And so let's develop that asset. And then the next thing we need to do is look at our strengths and our weaknesses. You play to your strengths and you manage your weaknesses. Now, anybody that's played ball, any kind of ball, soccer, football, baseball, basketball, any has heard that statement from a coach. You play to your strengths and you manage your weakness. What does that mean? Well, in football, you camouflage your weakness. If you're weak at linebacker, then you set up some defense that helps those linebackers. You know, if you're weak on some other part, you know, you don't. If you're weak in an area, then you get into the Word of God and shore up your weakness. Okay, now, success sometimes depends on timing. You know, Ecclesiastes says, there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. And then, he goes on down there then in verse 11 of that third chapter and says, he made everything beautiful in its time. Hallelujah. Don't try to get out of time. I have seen it over the years. I started Rhema in September 1974, graduated first class September 75. That's what, 44 years ago, I believe, something like that. And I've seen time and time again, people that would come, go a year, maybe a year and a half, go home at Christmas. The second year, oh man, I got an opportunity. I'm going to jump out here. I'm going to get into ministry. Hey, they didn't make it. They were out of time. See, God don't call you to go to a school where you're training for whatever you're training for to go half the way. I don't know why it happens all the time in Bible schools and seminaries. People will bail out, but I mean, if they're going to be an attorney or accountant or a lawyer, they don't bail out halfway through. But how many of you have seen people studying for the ministry do that time and time again? all these ministers, and then there's Jeff Weber that's over our Singapore school. He had his hand up. There's Vidar that's over the schools in Kenya. He had his hand up. Hey, you see, here you need to realize that you stay the course so that you hone your talents. You know, talking about timing. You know, if you know anything about farming, I know very little. My grandpa was one for a while when I was 5, 6 years old. He left the farm when I was about 7, I think. But some of you grew up on a farm. There's a time to go out and work, just work the ground. I call it working the fields. If you miss that window, you're really in trouble. You're probably not going to get a very good crop, because there's a right time to work the ground. I know Grandpa used to call it, he said he got to turn that field over, get it ready for planting. Then you got to cultivate, and then you got to know when to harvest. He used to look at that cotton. We'd be walking out there in the field, and it looked like it looked pretty good to me. I mean, man, you could see white everywhere. He said, "Well, son, a couple more weeks, we'll be ready to harvest." I said, "Well, Grandpa, it looks pretty good now." He said, "Yeah, but it will be hard to pick right now, because they got the machines that pick it now. That's when the people had to pick it." And my grandpa was one of these. He didn't want you to get any of the burrs in there. He wanted you to pick clean. Any of you farmers know what I'm talking about? So, see, there was timing. Lynette and I were years and years ago, we were doing a tour in Nashville. We were there for a visit, and we just got one of them tours that you can go on. And they took us to a studio. And I never will forget the guy said this, and you'll probably remember it, hon. We were in the studio, and he said, "There are musicians and singers that are singing out here in different places, clubs and different things, that are better than some of the stars." But he said, "They've never been at the right place at the right time to get discovered." Well, there sits, what's her name? Cindy and Lois, and they were over in that. That's true, isn't it? Wave your hand. That's true. Some of them are just, they've never been to the right place at the right time to get discovered. Hey, I want to walk so close and be successful with God that I'm at the right place at the right time. And you do that by doing all the other things we've been talking about with the Word. Anybody getting anything out of this? Now, when you're doing something, you do it with all you got. Do it with all your heart. Colossians 3:23 said, "Whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart." NIV said, "as working for the Lord and not for man." My dad taught me, he said, "Son," he said, "I don't care whether it's in the ministry. I don't care whether you're working a job. I don't care whether you're playing sports. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing with everything you got, and worth doing right, or don't do it at all." I heard him say that to me many, many times. And that's the way I operate. And many of you have been around me when I play ball, and you know that when I step onto that basketball court or that football field, I give it every cotton-picking ounce of stuff I got in me. Might not be much, but it's all I had. Bill has played with me on the basketball court. I give it everything I got, don't I, Bill? Bill said he caught a few elbows. But when I preach, I give it everything I got. When I finish tonight, it will be all I've had for tonight. It may not have been that good, but it was all I had for Wednesday night, December the 12th. There was an older minister that talked to a young minister one time. And he said, if you'd have went up the stage like you come off the stage, you'd have been successful. He went up there cocky. He didn't do very good, and he walked off. See? You go up, you do what you do in the Lord. You don't hold back nothing. Oh, I got to hold a little reserve. No, if you're on the court, you give it all thing you got when you out there. Don't save nothing. You hear the term, leave it all on the field. When you're, whatever you're doing, when I work, I give it everything I got. I'd work there unloading freight. I try to beat everybody else, unload my truck faster than anybody else. You know, some of the guys goofing around, messing around. But you know what? When a boss sees you doing that, you're the one that gets picked for the good jobs. And one of the best jobs there was when if you were breaking out trucks, city trucks go out, pick up the freight, and they bring it in. We break it out, send it to all the big trailers to be loaded to go to all the different cities, El Paso, Houston, wherever he's going. But Procter & Gamble, if you got picked to go over there with a 40-foot trailer to load as a loader, all you did was sit there. Because they loaded it with a forklift. But because they were union scale, they were on union, they had to send a loader with that truck. And you might be there, you come to work at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and you might not get off till 8 o'clock the next morning. But you're sitting in the break room really sleeping half the time, sometimes studying, because you knew you got some tests or something, you know. And you was making some good money, and you wasn't doing nothing. But you see, I got to do that several different times, and all the guys always say, "Well, Hagin, Simps always picks you to go Procter & Gamble." I said, "Oh, it's just because I'm better than you guys." I mean, it's guys. They were in my carpool. We rode from the school to the work and rode back home. But I didn't ever tell them it's because Sims would see me unload my truck faster than they did, because I didn't want them to, start. So I didn't tell them. I mean, do you understand what I'm saying to you? So whatever you're doing for the Lord or doing it for yourself or whatever, give it all you got. Say this one, that God wants me to be successful. And I can be if I follow the rules that God has set down in His Word. Amen. Anybody get anything tonight? I told my wife, I said, "Man, I can't find no sermon. I looked in 30 different of my sermon books." And they're three ring binders about that thick, and the same size as this, but they're that thick. I mean, I looked in through about 30 different binders looking for something. I couldn't find nothing. And finally, I come across these notes, and I just started using them. Half the stuff I said wasn't even in them tonight, but it sparked me. And so I said, well, I'm just going to go talk to my people tonight about success, because we all need to be successful in life and with God. And I trust that what I said tonight helped y'all. Let's all stand up. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for the words that you've given me. I pray, Father, that they will have found lodgment in the hearts of the people. And I pray, Father, that we will all do everything that's necessary according to your word to be success in our natural life and in our spiritual life. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise God. Listen, if you happen not to be a Christian, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you need to do that tonight, because you're not going to be successful until you accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Or you may be here and you know what it is to live close to God, but you're just not where you're supposed to be. You need to rededicate your life to God. Either one of those two invitations, the men over here, ladies here, come down here and they'll pray with you. You won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. If you need prayer for any reason, you want to receive the Holy Spirit, you want somebody to pray with you for healing, you want somebody to agree with you for a job, or pray with you about anything, come to the front as we're dismissed and they'll pray with you. All right, hey, connection team, go find a first-time guest, take them to the connection room so they can get, or to the place there to get that special gift. If you're looking for a church home, what do we say, church? Welcome home. Just come on, join our family. We have a great time serving God around here, huh? Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. Remember all the announcements, okay? And as you leave the campus tonight, it's a pretty night. And I noticed when I left my office to get over here, I had to go really slow because there were people everywhere looking at our pretty lights. The reason for the season, Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen. Remember all of our announcements Sunday morning right here, the big Christmas spectacular. Hey, you can get people to come to that sometimes that you can't ever get them to come and listen to somebody preach, and we'll present the gospel from a little different standpoint. You know, you use different kind of bait to catch fish, right? Well, sometimes you need some little bait like that just to get somebody here. They hear the gospel, and then they hear something else, they hear it pretty soon. We get them hooked. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hey, shake hands with somebody and say, I intend on being a success. What about you? God bless. See you Sunday right here. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, salvation, rededication, Holy Spirit, any reason you need prayer, come to the front now.